I love the songs that you picked out, Joyce. I think they were just perfect. You know, the question is it well with your soul? You know, really, you got to think about that. Doesn't mean that everything is perfect. Man, if you know Jesus and you're walking with the Lord and the Holy Spirit is part of your life, sharing with you, guiding you, loving on you, and allowing the Lord's light to shine in you, folks, that is good for our souls. Amen. Oh, God is so good. Any bad thing in your life, that too shall pass. Isn't that right? It will pass. You know, I talked a little bit, and I know I won't finish this message today, so I'll be ready for next week. But, you know, I was saying we need to make changes. We need to look at things and realize that God's going to use us in a mighty way if we let him. But it's our choice. So as I was preparing my message this week, I came across from a friend that sent me this thing. You might have seen it on the internet before, but I thought it was cute. Since we're making big changes, amen, we're planning on big changes for the new year. We may not know what all that is yet. None of us do. But it's okay. God does. So we'll just let him lead. And in this, he's a pilot. So let me read this to you if I can. It says, welcome to flight. Now, this is, I thought, was for the church. Welcome to the flight 2025. Y'all ready? We're at the airport. We're on the plane. We are prepared to take off into the new year. Please make sure your positive attitude and gratitude are secured and locked in the upright position. All self-destruct devices, such as pity, anger, selfishness, pride, and resentment, should be turned off at this time. All negativity and hurt should be put away. You may feel some turbulence on this flight, so go ahead and pull down the full armor of God. Should you lose your patience or compassion under pressure during this flight, simply reach up and pull down a prayer for grace. Prayers will be automatically activated by faith. Once your faith is engaged, you can assist your fellow passengers who are struggling or lacking in theirs. There will be no baggage on this flight. Just sit back, buckle up. God, our pilot, has cleared us for takeoff. Destination? Greatness. Amen. So buckle up. We serve such a good God. I'd like to talk this morning about fruitful growth in our faith. In these verses, the Apostle Peter will and does provides a powerful exhortation on spiritual growth and maturity. So let me read that to you. That's in 2 Peter chapter 1, start with verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting with verse 5. And this is what he wrote. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, in other words, they're working in your life, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. So what this is saying, if you lack in these things and you don't build on these things on your faith, he said, you're going to be short-sighted. You're not going to see things like it's meant to be seen. You're going to lack. And it goes on to say, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would bless your word today. Lord, that you would speak to us, your people. Let us learn, Lord, how and what it means to really build upon our faith. Lord, we all receive a portion of faith from you and the same amount. But Lord, we need to take our initiative and build upon that to make our faith even greater. So that we won't stumble, we won't become blinded, that we'll be able to see you as you are and minister to others that don't. So, Father, thank you. Help us to buckle up and to fly with you to greatness. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing I want to look at here is a foundation of faith. Peter begins by acknowledging the faith is the foundation of the Christian's life. It's the main thing. Everything is built upon that. So that's our starting point. We get faith, a portion of faith from the Lord, but then we're to build upon it. And that's our responsibility. You know, if we don't, it's by our choice. And so I think that's why it's important to attend church. And there's always a nugget, even in a bad message. You know what I mean? So I know that I'm always doing good, even though I feel that it really sucks sometimes. But that's okay. There's a nugget in it. You might have to dig a little longer and polish a little harder, but it's there. Amen? So this faith is a gift, but believers are called to actively build upon it. It's a mandated to us. If we fail, it's our fault, not the Lord's. Hebrews 11:7 says this, and I love that. It says, by faith, Noah, being diligently warned of things not yet seen. See, faith is things that's not yet seen, but hoped for. So he didn't see it, but he heard it, and it was a warning. So he heeded the warning because this is what he did. It says he moved with godly fear. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Folks, do you know the responsibilities that we have in the saving of our family? As God speaks to us and we start to build and we may not understand it, but yet we realize that we've got to change things, that we've got to learn how to walk with God so that our children are blessed. Folks, you don't know how our children are watching us. You know, my daughter said to, this was years ago, said to a pastor one time, she says, sometimes it's hard to get my dad to pay attention to us because he's so busy. But she says, if you ask him a Bible question, he'll stop. And I thought, wow, I never realized that. I never thought about that. But it was true. You know, you ask me something about God, let's talk. I got time for this. You know, but see, that's what she said. So I see and I realize how the kids watch us. So everything we do is so important. And a lot of times I've noticed that if they don't listen to you, it's because what you say don't really mean anything. It's like you say things, but you don't live up to it. You know, talk's cheap. And people see that in our lives. Well, you said, but you don't do. And so how can you trust them then? And so our kids are seeing that and they're saying, well, I don't know if that's really important because they never do it anyway. Must not be important. So I'll just do my thing. So Moses, or Noah rather, got the message from God. He said, God said, I'm gonna destroy the world. There's going to be a great flood. And everyone is going to die. But if you want to live, here's what you do. And then he gave him the instructions of the ark. You know, it took him 120 years to build it. But yet he feared God. God said this, and I believe it. It's kind of like in the Word, you know, we preach the Word, you need to build on your salvation, you need to add to things. But then we think, well, I don't know if that's really important. So I won't do it. And then a lot of things happen down the road because of that. You know, it's like being prepared to get up, which I probably couldn't even do, before Hindu people and share a message with them. Well, you know, I know exactly what you felt like. I've done that in some Christian churches. I'm like, whoa, these Hindus or these Christians? No, it wasn't that bad. But anyway, folks, how are we going to be prepared? There's bad things that happen. And a lot of times, if we're not prepared, what do? We blame God. God did this and God did that to me. Why would I want to serve God? Who is he? I prayed. I had a pastor's wife tell me one time, she said, I don't pray for people that are sick anymore. She says, when I do, they die. I'm like, whoa, okay, well, don't pray for me then.
Good word.
But you know, that's the thing. If we walk with God and if we're obedient to the word and do like Peter's trying to tell his people right here, man, we've got to build on that faith. Our faith is good, but if you don't build on it and use it, it's no good. Now, what if Noah would have said, no, I'm not going to, that's too much work. I just, you know, that's pretty hard. It's just me and my three sons. And Jether, is that one of them's name? Short for Jethro? You know, he doesn't know how to do any kind of carpentry work. So I'm really short-handed. So Lord, I don't know if I'm going to be able to handle this or not. And that's where a lot of us get, Lord, I don't know. Am I good enough? Lord, I don't know enough. Lord, I've got to build on this. I need to do that. Well, what have we been doing all of our Christian lives? Folks, I know a lot of Christians have been Christians for 30 and 40 years, and they know very little. And I'm like, why? Because they haven't built on their faith. Folks, the stronger your faith is, the better it is and gets, and the more that God can use you with and in to minister not only to yourself, but also to your family, to your friends, to those that you don't even know. And so we wonder sometimes why prayer doesn't work. And a lot of times we wonder why God doesn't answer prayer. Well, the Lord kind of says, have you been diligent in what I've told you to do? You know, have you read 2 Peter before, chapter 1? Maybe you ought to see verses 5 through 11 and kind of see where you're missing things. Remember I said that last week. I said a lot of times we don't know how to receive. God's got a lot of things he wants to really bless us with. You know, it's hard to take a plane ride until you get on the plane, right? It's hard to walk with God until we actually decide that we're going to walk. There's so much that God wants to do in our lives. So what did Noah do? He started building. While he was building, he preached to the people because they're all laughing at him, making fun of him. Hey, this guy, what is he? You're building a what, Noah? What is that thing you're building? And this was on dry land, a long way from any water. Noah, where's your trailer? And yet he preached. And there was no sign of it at all. Kind of like now, talking about the coming of the Lord soon. And the word says to be ready. And we just still live every day just like we've always lived it. It's not a rush. God's good. God's love. Hey, I'm a Christian, man. I've been going to church for 40 years. So I'm okay. And like when the day comes and you may be left behind, what are you going to say? God is unfair? God, that's a mean God to not take me? But see, a lot of times we take the preaching as, yeah, who told me? Somebody told me, maybe it was my wife. She tells me a lot. She's my little helper in the car, if you've heard that one before. And she said, because I'd say, well, you know, maybe you ought to get into a little more Bible study and reading your Bible. I said, I don't really see you doing that a lot. And she says, well, you're called to preach. You're supposed to. You know, and it's like, really? Is that how the church feels? A lot of the people feel? Say, Pastor, you've got to do that because you're the preacher. You know what the Lord told me last week? The Lord dealt with me last week. He said, you do a lot of study. He said, you read in your Bible a lot. He said, well, why do you do that? And I'm like, I knew why, but I didn't want to say. He said, so you can share it with other people, right? I said, well, yeah. And he says, I don't know if I really like that with you. He says, what about you? Why don't you study and read for you? But you're doing it for everybody else. And so what he's saying that is when we do that, it makes us weak. And I could feel it. The last few weeks, it's like I could feel that. I would have the word and I'd work so hard and I knew it was real and I would preach it. But inside, I'm feeling weak. And I'm getting weak. I would get weaker every week. And the Lord, he got a hold of me on that. He said, you've got to start studying for you. You got to start building your faith. And if you're not strong, you're not going to be able to share it with others. So now I do it differently. Now when I study and I read the Bible and spend time with the Lord, I do it first for me. And then there's a lot of leftovers that I can use it for others. Amen? But folks, there's just little things that God is requiring of us and asking us to do. And a lot of times we don't see the importance of it. But it doesn't really matter. You know, I've been told, I'd be in church and they say, "Pastor, you pray, you're paid to pray." I'm like, "Well, okay, I guess I'm a hireling now, huh?" But folks, we don't understand. God loves us. We love God. But sometimes we just don't understand what he's really trying to do in our lives. So it's really important to know that and to look at that. And of course, we know that Noah and his household was saved, right? So build upon your faith. And that your family can be saved. I don't care where they're at now. I mean, I do care, but it's like, it doesn't really matter, because if you start getting it right with God, so will they. The anointing goes downhill, goes to the next. And so if you want to see change in your family, want to see change in your prayer life and your blessings, start seeing the importance of God's word. So God, teach me. I want to know. I'm going to apply it to my life. Let's look at the second point here. This is progressive growth that we got and that we get from the Lord. First thing is virtue. He's talked about virtue. Virtue is excellence of moral goodness. It reflects the character and the integrity that align with God's nature. Virtue, God's virtue. You know, always love it when people can see God in you. You know, and I've been around people like that, and it's like, wow. Just the things you do, I grow from that. And I love that. Because there's virtue, there's godly virtue. You can tell sometimes when it's just an act. I listen to people a lot. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I just listen. I like to listen. And I can kind of hear where people might be and where their weaknesses. But you know, with that, it's not to listen, to hear, and then to condemn. Lord got me on that too. You know, sometimes you might talk, well, I don't know what so-and-so's doing, or you know, what's the kids thinking about? Why are they doing that? And then you kind of talk bad. And the Lord got a hold of me. He says, whose servants are they? He said, are you God all of a sudden and they're your servants that you can complain and condemn? It's kind of like, who do you think you are? And he says, you keep your mouth off of my people. See, just learning to feed yourself sometimes to get strong. God really talks to you. And he straightens you out. But see, we need to love each other, not condemn and judge each other. We need to pray for them. You know, it's where I want to be is where if I don't have something good to say anybody, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Because I don't want to be guilty of condemning God's servant. Who am I? How do you feel if somebody talks about your kids? Even if it might be true. You don't care much for it, do you? How dare you? Well, that's how God feels. How dare you? And then we even condemn ourselves a lot of time. And God says, you don't do that. Progressive growth is what we need. So the next is knowledge and understanding informed by both scripture and experience, deepening awareness of God's will. You know, I like this, that we can gain knowledge through the scripture. But you know what I like best? What I like best is that we get it through experience. You know, a lot of times somebody, if they convinced you about something, somebody else can unconvince you about it. You know that? But when you've experienced it, there ain't nobody can take that from you. Amen? That's why I have a lot of people, Jim, don't teach about the Holy Spirit. We don't need him now. We have the Word. We have everything we need. Not the Holy Spirit leading and all of this, they go on. There's no such as healing. It doesn't work. Nobody's healed anymore. All this stuff is wrong. Jim, you got to quit talking about it. And I'm like, I've seen it. I've experienced it. How can I possibly deny it? You know what? I'm convinced. I love what Paul said. And he said it to Timothy. You know, he says, I've suffered all of this, shame and abuse and all of this because of my preaching and my beliefs in the Lord. But he said, I know in whom I have believed. He said, because I've been persuaded. Now, folks, this is how I want to walk my walk with the Lord, my faith. As I build it and work upon it, I want to experience things. You know, it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations and troubles. Folks, that's where I learn how great I'm doing, if I'm doing great, in building my faith. The bigger the issue, the more faith you've got, because the Lord says he'll never give us anything above what we can handle. Right? And it's like, wow, whew, Lord, I must have some pretty good faith here because this is big. I had a woman at work who wanted to, she said she was going to take me to court and sue me. That's when all this stuff started about if you offended somebody and all of this. Well, she didn't like some of the things I was saying. And not that it was real bad. In fact, the two of us were talking because she was a friend, and I just wanted to kind of, you know how you do with friends sometimes. Sometimes you rub them a little bit and kind of see how they do, but you're friends, so it's okay. You know, not real bad things, but you know how you can push somebody's buttons. Well, she had changed. And she said, I'll take you to court. I'll sue you for that. I'm like, for that? Really? And then she was going to say, do some other things. And it's like, we've been friends and now you want to ruin my name? And you want to sue me in court for that? What is going on? You know, we've been friends. Good friends. But she had changed. And of course, she didn't know the Lord, but I witnessed to her a lot. But anyway, it went the wrong way, and that seems to be what happens with, you know, a lot of people. But the thing is, we really have to learn to build on our faith. Hebrews 10:36 says this. As we build on our faith, it says in verse 36 through 39, it says, he says, for you have a need for endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. How many of us stand in the Word of God, and then everything's going worse, getting worse, and starts coming down pretty hard, then sometimes what do? We just give up and let it go. We're done with that. Got to leave here. And the Lord says you need some endurance. You need to be able to stand in opposition. It says, so that after you've done the will of God, that you may receive then the promise. Folks, I want to receive the promise. I don't want to just go through a lot of pain and agony and then not get my promise in the end. Amen? For yet a little while, he says, he who is coming will come and not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, he says, my soul has no pleasure in him. I've been disappointed by people, and I've been disappointing to the Lord. That's why I work hard to build my faith, to know what I believe. And I don't mind opposition and hardships and trials that come my way, because then that just gives me the assurance that God is God and that God will take care of me as long as I stand on His word and trust Him in everything. So he says, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to destruction. It's saying here that if you give up, you draw back, and you're just not going to walk with God, he says, you can be heading for destruction. But of those who believe to the saving of the soul, those that continue, and to take the endurance. Luke 21:19 says, by your patient endurance, empowered by the Holy Spirit, he says, you will gain your souls. Y'all know what your soul is? Your soul is your will, your mind, and your emotions. It's you. It's how you feel, what you do, what you think. That's your soul. We all have a soul. But folks, as we learn to walk by faith and build upon that faith, we can change bad thoughts. We can get rid of wrong beliefs. See, we can change. Our soul can change. But we got to do it by the word. We can't be wishy-washy. We can't back away, give up. Say, well, they wouldn't listen anyway. You could talk yourself out of everything. Do you ever know that? You talk yourself out of anything. I got a grandson that, oh, he says, well, Grandpa, you know I overthink things. I'm like, just a little, you know, he's met a girl. Now all of a sudden he's thinking about, well, you know, would she really be a wife? Would she do this? Would, you know, how would this, and now he's thinking. So now he's worrying about things that may never happen. I said, Dakota, quit thinking. I said, you met this girl. I said, why don't you just be normal? Just relax. Say, God, you know what's going on here? You guide, take control. I'm following you because I can't do this on my own. And he says, well, yeah, that'd probably be a good way of doing it. But, oh, no, they want to have a meeting. And they want to have another couple that's married in the midst of it so him and his friend and these two girls, they can talk and make arrangements of how they're going to do things and how, you know, I'm like, I said, Dakota, if you did that with me, I wouldn't even want to be your friend, much less your grandfather. I said, relax, learn to trust God. Then he talks to his friend and he said, yeah, he called me last. Yeah, Grandpa, you're right. And the other guy told him, said, yeah, listen, let's listen to your grandpa. Let's not make things complicated. Let's just let it happen. Let's just have fun and just having fun, you know. If they're following God, they'll go with us. And if they're not wanting to go with God, then we'll leave them behind. It's just that simple. But folks, we've got to build. We've got to build upon our faith. And it takes work. It takes study. It's painful sometimes because you don't understand. But it's like don't try to feed ahead and try to understand. I don't try to understand everything. What I preach, I want to understand because I don't want to say it wrong. You know, I hate it's so hard to unteach something. Y'all know that? So hard to unteach something. I'm learning to relax in the Lord. I said, God, you got to do this. I don't understand it all. And it's okay. I don't have a problem with it because I got faith. I've got the faith that I know that God's going to see me through, that he's going to take care of me in spite of me. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that neat how God will take care of you in spite of yourself? Y'all aren't looking too happy right now. Are we on that plane yet? I'm going to quit there and we'll do the rest. We'll do the rest next week and probably nobody will be here, right? We heard that last Sunday. We're not going again. But anyway, I love you guys, and I know God loves you so much. And there's so much that he wants to do in your life. But we got to let him. We have to let him. And it's easy to do. We just got to surrender to the Lord. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time and your word. Lord, we love you so much. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take what was said here, and Lord, that you would explain it in a good way. Father, that all of us could understand it truthfully. Realize, Lord, that you are in control if we let you, and that would be a good thing for all of us. So, Lord, use us in a mighty way. Let us buckle up, Lord. And just say, God, you lead, you teach, you do what you want through me. And Lord, I will work hard to build upon the faith that you've already given me. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want to speak the blessing over you. I think that's so important. The Lord bless you, keep you, protect you, sustain you, and guard you. The Lord make his face shine upon you with favor and be gracious to you, surrounding you with loving kindness. The Lord lift up his countenance and his face upon you with divine approval and give you peace, a tranquil heart, and a good life. And Father, we thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks.